Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I'm very excited about this episode because we so often talk about fat loss and very rarely do we talk about how to build muscle. But the most common question I get about building muscle is how to build muscle without gaining excess fat. So that's what I talk about today with Inner Circle member Eric. We cover a lot more, a lot about habits, motivation, how to structure your planning, your training program, your nutrition program, but specifically how to build muscle without burning fat. I hope you enjoy it. Any questions or comments, let me know. See you on the other side. Eric.
Hello? Hey.
What's up, man? How are you?
Oh, fantastic. How are you?
I am fantastic as well. I feel like I need a get my energy up right now because I love your energy and I'm like under it. So I'm fucking fantastic, dude. Thank you for getting on the phone.
Dude, thank you. This is amazing. I've been stoked for like a solid week here. So
I'm excited. Yeah. Where are you calling from? Where do you live? Where are you based out of?
I'm in Pennsylvania. I'm about a half hour outside of Philly. North.
Oh, got it. Dude, we're close. I'm in New York. I didn't even realize you were that close.
Yeah, I figured you were a Boston guy.
But... yeah, well, I grew up in Boston, and then I moved to New York when I started coaching Gary Vaynerchuk, and so I've been here for a little over 2 years, but I mean, Philly's just so close. I have a really good buddy over there. Like, it's just a short train ride. That's awesome, man. Do you ever get to the city?
Into Philly more often than New York, but, you know, we have some friends that live up in New York and some family from Long Island, actually. So when I was a kid, we spent a lot of time up there in Long Island.
Got it. Very cool. Well, listen, man, thank you for getting on the phone on your Friday afternoon. I appreciate it. And basically, I want to make sure that all of your questions are answered. And I want to give you the floor to just sort of spew off and ask anything and everything you want. Just do me a brief favor and outline for people listening what, like, how we got on this call essentially. So you're in the Inner Circle and you were asking, like, you had some questions about programming and training. You're like, hey, could you just hop on the phone? It's like, why don't we just make a podcast about it? Just talk about, like, what you're doing, what your goals are, and then we'll go into your questions.
Okay, cool. So I guess I joined the Inner Circle, I guess, 2-3 months ago or something like that. And I kind of got to that point because I had seen some of your powerlifting stuff. And that was kind of the time where I had started doing more powerlifting style workouts rather than kind of like, I guess what you'd call more like bodybuilding, like 3 sets of 10 type of thing.
Yep.
So a real... interested in just powerlifting, adding strength, just in general, because it was real easy to just tell, okay, I'm making progress, I'm getting stronger. It's really freaking simple, like just add more weight on the bar. So I've been kind of progressing on along that line for, you know, I guess maybe 5-6 months or so, maybe a little bit more, and you know, I've not had any kind of coaching or anything outside of, you know, what I see on the internet. So what I found when I really kind of did my own program, or just kind of a cookie cutter type of thing, is you know, making progress but not watching form suffer a little bit, you know, able to lift a little bit but watching form suffer. And, you know, the nutrition end of it has also just always been a mystery for me, really, no matter what. Kind of like my eyes roll back in my head.
Okay.
You know, so that's kind of where I'm at. I'm 37, be 38 in November. I have 2 kids, and I want to, you know, try to set a good example for them and be in good shape myself without getting myself hurt too, you know, and that's why I say I'm 37 because, you know, when you start lifting heavier stuff, like, it's like, oh, shit, this hurts. Like, my shoulder hurts or, you know, a little sore, like, you know, that type of thing. So those are, I guess, kind of my main things as I want to see my weights go up, my strength increase. I want to figure out how to do that in the smartest possible way without hurting myself while kind of eating right and not putting on the wrong kind of weight, if that makes sense.
That makes 100% sense. Absolutely. You want to be able to get stronger and more muscular without risking injury, and you're not willing to get stronger at the expense of your body composition. You don't want to get put on body fat in order to get stronger. You'd rather take it slow and steady to be safe and to get lean muscle rather than to just do like the old school powerlifting dogma, which is get as big as possible to get as strong as possible.
And yes, and to that point, I probably did that around like February, March. Like that was when I kind of finished out like just that kind of like a 12-week kind of standard linear powerlifting program. And it was like, okay, good. I'm happy with kind of where I'm at strength gain wise. But I'm like, man, I got like this belly going on. I'm like, no, this is not, we gotta kind of do both, you know, add strength, but not get to the point where I'm putting on unnecessary pounds. Because I didn't feel good at that point either.
100%. I totally get it. So that makes 100% sense. Thank you for outlining that. Now let's jump into your questions. You said you had these written down, like you are good to go.
Yeah, I'm trying to pare it down so I'm not like just going crazy. But yeah, I mean, so the first kind of thing is injury prevention. I mean, because that's, I think, the main thing in making sure I'm not hurting myself or making anybody, you know, you don't want to hurt yourself because then you can't do anything. And then you're totally screwed at that point. Me specifically, I feel like I've always had kind of a weird left shoulder. Like if I would do, for example, if I would do like a dumbbell fly, it would almost feel like my left shoulder would kind of like give out. You know, kind of that makes sense when I'm in like the full extended position. Yep. My shoulder kind of like gets a little balky and just like it's like, nope, not going anywhere.
Yep.
So that type of thing, I feel like that's progressed a little bit, you know, as I've gotten to the point where I'm squatting a little more. And it's affected being able to do any kind of an overhead pressing and even to a lesser extent bench pressing. So not okay with that.
100%. So you specifically want some shoulder discussion on injury prevention?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So it's very, very simple. Now, let me ask you this before I dive in regard to your daily warm up for powerlifting, for your lifting sessions, are you doing soft tissue work? Are you rolling your pec minor? Are you doing soft tissue work on your pec minor, your upper traps? Are you doing stability work, some wall slides, some external rotation, some band pull aparts? Are you doing that type of stuff consistently or no?
Absolutely not.
Perfect.
None of the above.
Perfect. And here's the thing. So there's a number of aspects for injury prevention, but the first thing, and this is, I'm going to tell a funny story. This will go into business as well as fitness, but very few people are excited to warm up. Warming up is not like the fun part of training. And not to mention, if you are in a pinch for time, you're like, okay, well, you know, I'll just sort of just get right into the lifting because, you know, screw the warm up. It's a waste of time. One of my favorite sayings is, if you don't have time to warm up, you don't have time to work out. Period. It doesn't have to be a 20-minute warm-up. It could be a 5 to 7 minute warm-up, and you could do a specific warm-up for your upper body, which could take between 4 to 8 minutes, 4 to 7 minutes, if you really, once you get it down pat and learn it. But honestly, the shoulders are so easy to injure. They're an inherently unstable joint, and there's so much going on there, especially as you start doing a lot of powerlifting and heavy lifting. You're putting a lot of stress on it, and I think one of the main reasons I was so fortunate throughout my powerlifting career to not have any shoulder injuries was because I never skipped a shoulder warm-up. And I think a lot of people hear warm-up and they think, okay, so arm swings or lateral raises. No, the shoulder mainly. And so you mentioned the fly, for example, and how it would get unstable on the fly. I'm assuming that was the front of the shoulder. As you were like going all the way down, you'd feel the front of the shoulder get a little bit unstable, and like that'd be where the issue was.
Yeah, front kind of middle.
Yep.
Of the Yep.
So
kind of putting my finger like right on it. Yeah, it's pretty much exactly it.
So that it could be a number of things. Number one, you could have possibly had your elbow too far straight. You possibly could have been using too much weight. But realistically, the number one thing that you can use to combat shoulder issues is strengthening the posterior, the backside of your shoulder. And this is a double whammy, number one, because very few people like to warm up at all, number one. And number two is it's not a mirror muscle. You don't see this every day. So a lot of times people mainly like to train what they can see. So if they can't see it, a lot of times it's not as important for them to train it. But the back of your shoulders, your rear delts, the scapular stabilizers, if you're not training them, your shoulders will have serious issues. So briefly, I'm going to break down the major things that you got to be doing when you warm up. Number one is starting with soft tissue work. You could get a lacrosse ball. I use an AccuMobility ball. It's a company that I really love and support. They're good friends of mine. And it's the same thing as a lacrosse ball, except it's a flat bottom. I think you've seen me mention it in the Inner Circle.
I actually bought one.
Perfect.
Not that long ago.
Perfect.
So I've used it more for like hamstrings. I sit at a desk most of the day, but you know, yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So you got to do it on your pec minor. I have videos of all of this in the Inner Circle. If you have trouble finding it, let me know. I can link you to it in the Facebook group or whatever via email. Pec minor is very generally a very tight, especially if you're sitting at a desk, you're hunched over. Pec minor tends to be tight. You want to loosen that up. Upper traps tend to be very overactive. You want to loosen that up. And so that's your soft tissue work, doing the front. And then you want to strengthen the back with your stability work. So this will be band pull-aparts, scapular wall slides, seated scapular wall slides. So basically what you've just done is you've mobilized the front of your shoulders, which are tight and overactive. And now you're strengthening the back of your shoulders, which if you think about it, now you're literally pulling yourself into better posture and you're able to maintain that position better throughout the session. Does all that make sense?
Yes.
So you have to do that before at least every upper body workout, before every bench workout. But you also said you started to feel it when you're squatting a little bit, which makes sense because if you're squatting and your grip is relatively close, if you have a close grip towards your shoulders on the bar, that puts a lot of pressure on your shoulders. It's a lot of external rotation in a really tight position. So number one, a really quick fix without really doing anything is just bringing your grip out wider so there's less stress on the shoulder. But that's more of just like not paying attention to it rather than actually fixing it. So I would also be very, very, very cognizant of making sure you're doing the pec minor soft tissue work, the upper trap soft tissue work. That's going to hurt like a motherfucker, by the way, when you first start relaxing the muscles, breathing, making sure you're not tensing, because if you tense, it's going to not do what it needs to do. And then from there, strengthening the back, band pull apart, scapular wall slides, do those. I would honestly do those every day. And if you just do those soft tissue work on the pec minor and upper trap, followed by band pull aparts and scapular wall slides, just those, that'll take you, when you get good at it, 3 minutes or less. Like, that's a lie. I'll say 4 minutes or less. And then you're good. That will cover your bases on a very significant level as a warm up.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes absolute sense. And I, by the way, the squat lengthening my arm position has helped. But you know, part of that is like, okay, you can only go so far. How long am I going to keep lengthening it out? Like, it's a matter of time before at a wider length it starts to hurt. Then I got to go wider, and so
That's exactly right.
I kind of felt like I'm not addressing the core of the issue. So I think this helps. And I think probably deep down, I know, like, yeah, like, dude, you're old and you need to start, like, warming up. Because normally my workouts are in the morning. So, like, it's up early, make a cup of coffee. I have a gym right in my garage. So it's basically a rack and barbells. And so it's like, all right, let's get right into it. And that's probably a mistake.
Yeah, man. I mean, and to be honest with you, most people make that mistake. And most people either do it because they're just like, oh, I'm in a rush, I'd rather not warm up. Or they're like, I don't know what the fuck to do for warm up. And so, I mean, you literally have in the inner, you have the, if you hover your mouse over the members tab and you go down, there's the number one, there's the Inner Circle warm up that I have videoed. And then also in that page is linked to a PDF, which literally outlines step by step everything you need to know, from soft tissue work, literally full body soft tissue, to all the mobility exercises, all the stability. And it's like everything you need to know. So if you ever have questions, that's there for you. And then anything else, just let me know. But there's especially you in high school, you can go into the gym and like put on your max weight and you're fine. Like you go the next day and it's no big deal. But man, I'm 27 and I can really start to feel it, that like if I'm not warming up, I'm seriously in big trouble from a aching perspective, from a risk of injury perspective. I know if I don't warm up, my neck will often be will get pulled on one side, because I'll go to my upper traps, right? I sit in planes all the time. So I know you're actually going to laugh. Right now I'm sitting on my couch and I have not the Acumen Mobility Ball. I have this S bar, and I literally am working it on my upper traps as I'm talking to you, because I know for a fact, like if I'm sitting down, if I have a moment, I'm just going to be using this because it helps so, so, so much.
Yeah. And that's, you know, after years of, you know, kind of desk work, unfortunately, you get tight. And I noticed, I posted my first ever video the other day. And
in the Inner Circle?
Yes. It was doing sumo deadlifts, which I'm really not that used to doing. I've tried it, you know, because I've been used to doing conventional, and that's another kind of mobility type of thing too. I got a nice comment from Tony that the form was good, and so that felt nice. But you know, there's still definitely like some not discomfort, but just kind of awkwardness, tightness in terms of, you know, getting down. And then, you know, so that's another thing in, you know, not so much soreness, but just tightness in getting down on a sumo lift.
Yep.
Because I'm just so used to doing conventional, but then I just screw myself up and I do, you know, higher volume deadlifts, and it was like, shit, my back hurts like for a week. Like, you know, it's awful. So, but that's, so I wanted to get, you had posted something about checking out, you know, post your video for form check. And so I did that for the first time. So I'm pretty proud of myself, because I wasn't going to be, it's like, oh man, I'm not like a social media poster guy.
I'm glad you did it, man. There's been a lot of people posting in there their first post, either social media or first video. And there's the support has been huge. If you want, email me the link to the post and I'll go and I'll give my critique on it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. So,
cool. Okay. So we got the shoulders. Is there, what else? Tell me what else.
I guess the second really big thing is nutrition. You know, I've tried doing calorie counting, and it comes back to like, yeah, like you should be doing, like, you know what you should be doing, but like, you never want to do the stuff you should be doing, right? So, but you know, if I'm in a phase where I want to add some muscle, you know, it's like, all right, well, I'm just gonna eat everything in sight, because that's way easier than actually focusing on, you know, calculating how many calories I need to do, what macros are, et cetera, doing all that. And likewise, for if I want to go into a fat loss phase, it's, you know, it's like, well, I'm gonna eat less, or I'm not gonna eat breakfast, or I'm just gonna cut stuff out. Like, then it's not sustainable, because it's either, oh, I have to do this tedious calorie counting of every little thing I put in my mouth, which I should do that, but I really don't want to. And then, you know, it ultimately, I guess it's kind of, you know, I don't know what is. I just listened to your podcast with, I think her name was Diana. There was a two-part.
Yeah, the maintenance one.
Yes, and it was just like she was so kick-ass, and the second time around, it was like a different person. This woman was just like, literally, yeah, it's whatever. Like, I just know about what I have to eat now. Like, damn, like, I'll get to that point, like, where she was just like, from the first, she was scared out of her mind. Like, she just sounded like, okay, I guess I'll try this. And by the second one, whatever, 60 days later, she's like a fucking superhero. Like,
right?
Yeah, I don't care. I'm going to do it. Yeah, it was amazing. So, like.
Well, think about this. So, and I actually just posted about this recently the other day. Most people will start a program or say they're going to do something, and they'll quit or alter it within the first 3 to 5 days. Like, they will not actually follow through. And the thing with Diana is, it's like 60 days, that's it. It's like, yeah, 60 days, that's it. It's easy to say 60 days out loud and be like, that's such a short period of time. But when you're in it and you're doing it day after day, and like, you have those fluctuations of weight, and you're looking in the mirror, and your brain is playing tricks on you, and you feel like it, to stay consistent with that is not easy. And people really underestimate it. And I guarantee you, and I'll give you this challenge, man. I will give you this challenge, no sweat, if you are up for it, of doing maybe not 60 days. I'll give you a 30-day challenge of doing something consistently for 30 days. Guaranteed, by the end of the 30 days, you will be way more confident, and you'll listen back to this podcast and be like, Jesus, I can't believe I was so surprised that she had completely changed. Because yeah, you do something consistently every day for 30 days straight, 60 days and like straight, no question, you're going to have a new skill set and you're going to be way more comfortable. Whereas if you do it for 5 days or a week or 2 weeks and quit, yeah, you haven't developed the skill. You're going back to your old habits.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is something to, I would be willing to try anything for 30 days.
It sounds like you don't want to count calories, which is okay. I'm not going to tell you have to count calories. There are other strategies we can use. Is that something you're interested in?
Yes, and that's where I feel like I've tried counting calories. I tried doing the, you know, my fitness pal and just logging stuff in. But my problem is also, like, I sit there and it's like you put in however many ounces, and I obsess over these insignificant details. Do I have 6 ounces of chicken, or do I have 7 ounces of chicken? And was it Purdue chicken, or was it just like general? Like, I obsess, and that's where it gets tedious for me. I'm just like,
right.
Don't sweat it, man. Like, you know, so
you really are very type A, and so you want it to be precise and exact, and if it's not, it's going to eat at you, and you'll be like, well, what the hell, I don't know if this is accurate, and it's an issue. So I totally get that, and
it's
not something that I would try and change, because that is very much a personality type, but it is something that you can learn to calm down with and relax. And so, for example, the way that a lot of times I'll explain this is, when you go to a gym and you lift weights, every different gym is going to have, like, they're going to, the 45-pound plate at one gym is going to weigh, one of them is going to weigh 42 and a half pounds. And then another gym, it's going to weigh like 47 pounds. Another gym, it's going to weigh like 48 and a half. Like, I've done this different. It's just because it says 45 doesn't mean it actually weighs 45. And then sometimes things will chip away from it. A little weight comes off of it, whatever. So if those minuscule changes were causing you serious distress and like, oh my God, this doesn't weigh 45 pounds. It's changing the percentages. I can't lift the weight because it's not actually 45. It's sort of the same thing where you might not be lifting exactly how much you think you're lifting, but at least you're lifting and you're getting an idea of what you're doing. And then you can progress from there. It's the same thing with calories. Like, maybe you have the wrong brand of chicken breast, but at least you're calculating something, and maybe you're within 50 to 75 calories and it's not exact, but at least you're within 50 to 75 calories. But either way, that's sort of going off track. You don't have to track what I – here's the major issue that a lot of people have when they start going into a muscle gain cycle. This is more for men. Generally, men will be do the whole like okay, I'm just going to eat whatever now, and they gain a ton of weight, and then they do that for either between 1 week to 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks if they go a long while, and then they hate how they look because they don't actually look that different, but mentally they think they do because they just went way off track and ate too much because they thought they could. That's what men tend to do. And women, on the other hand, when it goes to a muscle gain phase, a lot of times they'll start off by adding just enough calories, like just enough to possibly be in surplus, and they'll see the weight spike very briefly, and then they'll be like, oh, fuck that, no way, not ready yet, and then they'll go back into a deficit, and they'll never actually spend enough time in a surplus to build muscle. So those are the two general places that we'll see, and there's crossover. Some women will do what most men tend to do, and some men will do what most women tend to do, but those are generally the two groups. And what my best recommendation, if you're not counting calories, even if you are counting calories, is to not change your diet just because you're changing your focus. Keep the foods the same, generally. Keep the meal times the same. Keep everything the same, but just add on a little bit extra quantity. So, for example, a really simple way of doing it, let's say you have a three whole egg and three egg white omelet every morning. Make it a 5 whole egg and 5 egg white omelet every morning to start. That's just the beginning. And you do that for the first 2 weeks. If your weight stays the same or goes down, you can then maybe increase a little bit of what you're having at lunch. So like if you usually have, I don't know, a Chipotle bowl with rice and you hold the beans or whatever, you get the beans, but you hold the rice, then maybe try like putting some rice in it. And then now you do that for 2 weeks and you keep the foods the same. You don't start eating a whole bunch of junk just because you can. Keep everything the same, add a little bit over a course of 2 weeks and keep track of your weight, your measurements. If nothing changes or if it goes down, you can add a little bit more. If it goes up too fast, then you might've added too much. And if it's just slowly going up about half a pound to a pound or about every like week to 2 weeks, you're good. And that hit that. Another simple way is just add a protein shake at the end of one or two meals a day. That's another simple way to do it. But rather than changing the entire menu, the entire diet, keep everything the same. Just add a little bit more and track your progress. The issue most people have with this is they get very impatient and they'll go for 3 days and then stop. Like literally, because it's easy to say, do this for 30 days out loud. But when you're actually in it day after day and you're thinking about it meal after meal, snack after snack, it's much more mentally taxing than people expect, which is why it's really important to have a more moderate and flexible approach with it. But really focusing on just because you're changing your goal doesn't mean you change your entire diet and everything. Keep everything the same, slowly add to it. Be meticulous with your tracking, your data, your weight, your measurements, your pictures, and wait 2 weeks to make a change. Don't make a change after 3 days, 4 days, a week. Literally, on your calendar, 14 days goes by. You look at your weight, your measurements, your pictures. That's when you decide if you need to make a change or not. Does that make sense?
It does. And I guess, I mean, you use the example if you're in like a muscle gain phase, but you would just kind of do the opposite for a fat loss.
It's exactly right. Take away. And another thing that I'll do, the way that I would put it, because there's a lot of psychology involved in this. And sometimes what I would say is for fat loss, like, yes, you do take away. But what I would say, just simply for the psychology of actually helping people stay full, I would say, okay, instead, what you're going to do is you're going to add more vegetables to the meal. So like, let's say, for example, you're going to have 3 meals and 2 snacks, then you're going to make sure that half of your plate is vegetables. You're going to add more vegetables. So I would just say that instead of saying you're going to take away some of the carbs, all I would say is you're going to add more veggies or add more fruit. And then they would take away more carbs, but I wouldn't put it in that with those words. This is totally me just being nitpicky and explaining why the psychology of how I'd phrase something. But yes, you take something away and then you track it over the course of time and see your progress.
Right. Now, how would you, I mean, just like quick kind of back of the envelope, how would you calculate what a general maintenance level is for a normal person, for any person?
Well, so it does depend, like, if you're coming out of a really steep fat loss phase versus if you're more just like maintaining your current weight. If you're coming out of a fat loss phase, I'll explain both. If you're coming out of a fat loss phase, your maintenance is going to be lower. So let's say, for example, you're coming out of a fat loss phase and you've been in a deficit for 3 months, okay? And you weigh 150 pounds. Your maintenance, now that your low weight is 150 pounds after a deficit, is going to be probably lower than someone who has just been maintaining 150 pounds and is not in a deficit, if that makes sense. Because you're in a deficit, your metabolic rate is a little bit lower, just naturally that's what happens. So if someone is coming out of a deficit, then rather than take their weight and multiply it by like 13 or 14, what I would do is I would add in a couple hundred calories on several days a week back to their diet. And it would be more of a reverse diet approach, where I wouldn't just immediately put them back up to what I think their maintenance is. It would be a slower approach, a couple hundred calories here, a couple hundred calories there. And the point being that I don't want them to immediately go up to maintenance in the first week. I would rather them progressively work their way back up to maintenance over the course of probably like three to six weeks or so. And it can depend on the individual, but that way they take more time. Their metabolism ramps back up. They have, and it's also from a mental perspective, sometimes people will go straight from fat loss, be like, I'm in maintenance now, and they start eating way more. And I don't want their brain to go, okay, I'm done, and then start just eating as much. I want them to take, I look at the maintenance, getting back to maintenance, as an extension of the fat loss phase, which is really important, because a lot of people will lose a lot of fat and then gain it all back again because they've been looking at like the end of the fat loss phase as the end, and then they can eat whatever they want, and then they have to go through the whole process again, which is normal and it's common. People make that mistake. I made that mistake years ago, and you sort of have to go through that. But when I'm working with clients or in the inner circle, the main thing is after fat loss phase, it's an extension of fat loss, and you work your way back up slowly, slowly, slowly. If someone is maintaining 150 pounds and then they just want to figure out what their maintenance is, then I would start with around like 13 or 14, one of those numbers, and take 150, multiply it by 13 or multiply it by 14 or multiply it by 13 and a half, whatever you want, and use that as your starting point. And then eat that every day for 2 weeks. You could cycle if you want to, higher or lower, but generally eat that every day for 2 weeks. Track your weight for those 2 weeks. If your weight goes significantly up in those 2 weeks, I would say if after those 2 weeks it goes up by like more than 3 pounds consistently, not just on a random fluctuation, but if it's up 3 pounds on a number of days, you added too much. And if it's going down consistently, then you're not eating enough. And if it's within the same range, if it's 150 with like 152, 148 within that range, then that's your maintenance.
Okay, that makes sense. And I guess just to kind of just, I guess, make it a step further, is there anything to it where you, like, you have to kind of get, your body has to kind of get used to being at a different, in a different state, at a different weight, whether or not you're fat loss or muscle gain, you almost have to, like, get yourself used to being there, because just, okay, well, I went from, you know, 150 to 155 pounds. You're not just all of a sudden going to maintain it. You have to kind of do more in order to get yourself used to being there, or vice versa, from 150 to 145. You have to kind of go at a lower maintenance or higher maintenance in the first example to just basically get yourself used to being at that new weight, if that's somewhere where you want to stay, right? Does that make sense? And is that kind of the right way to look at it?
What I would say is this: you're overthinking it a little bit. You're correct, but you're overthinking it a little bit to a point where you're getting into the minutia that doesn't matter. But the way that I think of it is, it's not from a physiology perspective that you need that. It's more from the psychology perspective of, like, how long have you actually spent in a maintenance phase before? And most people have not spent more than several days in maintenance, if that, because they get scared and they quit, or because they don't have a plan. It's not the physiology needed. It's more the, hey, we need to make it so that your brain and emotions are comfortable here and know that you're not going to gain a ton of fat. You're not going to lose all your progress. It's a mindset shift that's the most important.
Gotcha. So don't sweat that small stuff.
Yeah. Don't, like, honest to God, do not. I know that you sweat a lot of the small stuff. Like, you think about every little thing. Is that type of thinking will hinder you, because it will make you focus on all the shit that doesn't matter. When if you really just focus on the 2 to 3 big rocks, you're going to get, and you're consistent with those, you'll get way better results than being inconsistent because you're focusing on all the minutia that doesn't matter. And it's the same sort of thing that I always say, like, on paper, for, let's say you're trying to build muscle, a 5 to 6 day a week training program is going to be, on paper, it's going to be more effective than a 3 times a week training program, because you're getting more frequency, you have more exposures. But if you can only follow that 6 times a week program 50 to 60% of the time, but you could follow the 3 times a week program 95 to 100% of the time, you'll get better results with the 3 time a week program because you're consistent with it. So, and it's so overlooked, the value of consistency over what is supposedly perfect. Perfect is the enemy of good enough, and most people never get to good enough because they're trying to be perfect.
It's absolutely true. It's like the shiny object syndrome. It's, you know, yeah. So that, you know, that's okay. That makes a lot of sense, and I think that's I'm gonna try to let go of some of the little stuff that just gets me bogged down, I think. So,
well, let me see this. Instead of just saying, like, I'm gonna try and let go of the little stuff, let's come up with the shit that you're going to focus on, and anything else that comes in your mind, you consciously and deliberately say, no, fuck off, I'm not listening to you, doesn't matter. So what are, like, let's talk, like, what are the major things you're going to focus on for nutrition?
Well, I want to be able to get enough protein.
Okay, so how are you going to do that?
Well, I think I do a pretty good job of that. You know, I try to have a protein with every meal.
Perfect.
So if I have 3 to 4 meals a day, you know, I try to do protein, whether or not chicken, beef, fish, eggs, you know, and generally, in, you know, in some form or another with snacks. So I try to do that.
Perfect.
Pretty much, so with every.
That's your rock, man. And I'm purposely cutting you off because I don't want you to overthink it. So literally, you have 3 to 4 meals a day. If you only, like, and every meal has protein, period, end of story. That's a big rock. If you only have 3 meals, I would make sure that you also have a protein shake or a Greek yogurt or cottage cheese or a snack with it as well. But either way, 3 to 4 meals, protein in every one. If you're going to have a snack, try and make some, include protein in it as well. Done. That's one of your rocks. Boom. Cool?
Yeah.
What's next?
I can easily do that. Probably getting and eating enough vegetables, I guess, is probably everybody's issue, is that not enough people eat enough vegetables, and I'm no different. Whether or not, you know, with, I guess, having a portion of that with every meal is something that I should be doing,
well,
on a consistent basis.
I would say, yes, it's important to get enough vegetables. I'm thinking in terms of your goal, and your goal is muscle gain with minimal fat gain, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so with that in mind, I'm going to not say don't do that, but I'm going to say let's not make that a big rock yet. If we might later, but right now, focusing on muscle gain with minimal fat gain, we have to look at, okay, so how are we going to track this? Let's look at your weight. We're going to track your weight. Okay. So that being said, you're going to, for the first 2 to 4 weeks, you're going to track your weight and look, and you're going to keep your meals exactly the same. And this is, it doesn't have to be exactly the same. Like you can vary it up, but you're not going to all of a sudden start eating large pizzas instead of what you would normally have in terms of a meal. And I would say keeping meals exactly the same, coupled with tracking your weight. So if your weight goes up too quickly in the first 2 to 4 weeks, then you can systematically reduce how much you're eating by either taking, maybe adding more vegetables in, right? That would be another way to do it. Or maybe reducing the size of your carbs or how many fats you're having or one meal, whatever. Or if you're having 5 eggs, take it down to 4 or 3, whatever. But keeping track of your weight is a big rock we want to focus on, and making sure that your meals are consistent so that you can adjust as needed. So I'd say a big rock, number one, protein. Number two, tracking your weight with consistent meals so that if it's going up too fast, you can reduce. If it's going down, you can increase. And if it's staying the same, you know you're doing the right thing. Does that make sense?
That does, yes.
So vegetables are a part of that, but it's not the big rock to focus on because it's not giving us the actual data we're looking for. Does that make sense?
That does, yeah.
Perfect. So the big rocks really are protein, tracking your data with consistent meals, and the other one is being consistent with your training, which I doubt you're going to be have an issue with. I know you love training. So those are your three big rocks, man. Like, that's literally all I want you to focus on. Your protein, your data in regard to your weight and consistent meals, and your training. That's it. Anything else that comes into your mind, you can disregard immediately, because if you're getting protein at every meal, you're good. If your weight is going up, that's a big rock. Cool. You know what to do. You can add more vegetables. You can add more fruit. You can take away some fats. You can take away some carbs. You can literally reduce however much you're eating. Instead of having 10 ounces of meat, you'll have 8 ounces of meat, whatever. You know what to do based on that big rock. And then training, like if you have a 6 times a week program, which I know you don't, and you see that you're only getting there like 4 times a week on a consistent basis, your change is, hey, I'm going to reduce it to 4 times a week because that's going to be better. Those are the only three rocks I want you to focus on for the next 30 to 60 days, because you do this consistently and your results will be through the fucking roof.
I can handle that.
Does that sort of make you feel more comfortable and confident because you have a definitive plan with it and you know what to check and measure?
Yeah, and that's where I think I've always gotten myself tripped up, is I get a plan, but it's kind of like this convoluted, murky water type of plan. And then, I have like 5, 6, 7, 8 different things I need to focus on. And, well, you know, I fuck up on bullet point number 7. It's like, oh, shit, the whole thing's out the window because I fucked up on bullet point number 7.
Right, which isn't even true. That was literally the last podcast I did. Like yesterday, it was funny because the woman Ruthie was amazing. If you haven't listened to that, listen. It's a really good podcast. I specifically asked her, was there any times when you didn't hit your numbers, you messed up? She was like, oh my god, all the time. But I never use that as a reason to stop. I just kept going, and she's had massive success. But this is the benefit of making 3 big rocks as opposed to 7 big rocks, because now you know exactly what to focus on, and anything else that comes up, you kick it in the fucking face and say, I don't care about you right now because this isn't a big rock.
Yeah. It makes it simple, and just keeping it simple is probably the best way to do it, to get from point A to point B.
Exactly. And I'll be the first to say, this doesn't sound fun or exciting because it's not complex. It's not like an amazing conjugated system. It's not like a remarkable program periodization. This isn't overwhelming in any way, but a lot of times people lose because the illusion of complexity gives the impression of better. But the reality is, as we've spoken about, and as you know, if it's not sustainable, if you can't follow it, then it's not going to work. And people would do much better if they got comfortable with simple and basic and were ruthless with attacking the basics as opposed to being inconsistently trying to be complex and fancy.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. So I think that helps to clarify a lot of things, I think.
Good.
So I'm cool with that.
Good. And I know that you're wicked busy. Do you have any other questions? Is there anything else you wanted to cover today?
Those are my two big things, and I think that I will go the next 30 or 60 days. I will keep to these things, and then I'll see what my next things pop up at the end of that 30 to 60 day period. Because I'm sure there's always more stuff. But this has been fantastic because focus on these things and you won't go too far off the path.
So I'm going to ask you, is it going to be 30 days or 60 days? We got to be definitive about it. There's no ambiguity here.
I can do 60 days.
You realize, by the way, if you say 30, it's amazing because I'd rather you do 30 perfectly than say 60 and do 40, right? So if you say 60, amazing. I support you and we're going to hit 60. But if you say 30, that's totally cool too. I just want you to know either one is fine as long as you know you can do it consistently. And if you say 60, you better believe I'm going to be on your ass about this. When you're going to be posting in your circle, you're going to be like updating, you're going to have an accountability thread. You're going to be like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Like, that's going to be a huge part of it because I guarantee you that's going to help you stay on track.
Now let's do 60. I'm up for it.
I love it.
I need to have that. Let's do 60.
Damn straight. Let's do 60. So
I'm down for it.
Say August. What is it? August 10th or something right now? August. I don't know the date right now. It's
10th. Yeah.
August 10th. Okay. Awesome. So October 10th around there. That's where we're stopping, like 60 days or right around that point. And I want you when at some point today or in the next 24 hours, go in the inner circle. And I know you've seen other people do it. Just give an introduction to what we spoke about and to what your plan is, what you're going to do. Outline your three big rocks and you're going to update your thread daily. Even if that's literally like, hey, today was a rest day. Protein was good. Weight was up a little bit more than usual. So I'm going to keep track of that for the next 2 weeks. And maybe it was just a fluctuation, so no big deal, but I'm going to keep track. And if I need to reduce my breakfast, I'll do that, whatever. But update that daily for 60 days. That means you're going to have 60 updates by the end of this, and you're going to have serious data, like real data on what works and what doesn't. And you're going to find and I guarantee if you hit these 60 days hard and consistent, you and I are going to get back on a podcast and you're going to have that same switch that Diana had, which at first it's a little bit like unsure, asking a lot of questions. And you're gonna be like, yeah, I mean, it's pretty fucking simple. You just do it. Right. I'm excited because I know that this is a huge passion for you. And I know if you stick with it, man, the results are going to be unbelievable.
I'm excited. I'm a little nervous, but I three things are easy to do. These are easy things to do. I can do these.
Damn straight. Yes, you can. That is exactly right. And that feeling that you have of like, I can do it, it's only three things, is exactly what I want. Because you absolutely can do these things. There's no question about it. And let's say one day, like, you eat like an asshole and it's just shit. Cool. And then you're back on track the next day. It's not a big deal. I don't want your life to be run by this, but I do want it prioritized. So 95% is on point. So we get really good data. You can absolutely do these three. No question about it. If we gave you 12, that would be a little bit overwhelming. I don't know if I'm able to do it. These three, man, you're going to crush it. You're going to absolutely crush it. I'm excited.
Awesome. So I will do that. I will post. That is outside of my comfort zone, but I will post it up, and I will put it out there. So
good.
I'm down. Yeah.
I love it. And by the way, this is a little bit outside. This is what I do, like, with a lot of people who are fitness professionals and coaches who are nervous to post on social media, or whatever. My favorite advice for that is to be completely open and honest. And this is my way to describe it. Did you ever see 8 Mile with Eminem?
Yes, a long time ago, but yes, I did.
You remember the rap battle that he had with the guy where basically at the it was the ultimate rap battle, and at the very end, he went first, and he basically just said all of the things about himself that the other guy was going to make fun of. Like, all the things that anybody could make fun of him about, he said them first. So by the time the guy went to try and make fun of him, and when they're at, he was speechless, he had nothing to say because Eminem owned up to it all. And so if you're ever nervous or it's like out of your comfort zone, whatever it is, but especially posting on social media, just say how you feel. Hey, just so you know, this is way outside my comfort zone, but I want to get better at this, and I think it's important, so I'm going to do it. Like, boom. Easy, done. I think one of the biggest issues people have is when they try and pretend like it's not an issue and then they feel like a fraud. Honest, man, the support that I've seen in there, I know you've seen it too, it's crazy. So be open and honest. Like, I'll be in there. Send me the link when it's up. Send me the link to your deadlift so I can go look at the technique for you. But I'm excited. I think I think number one, for you, this is going to be really great to stop overthinking stuff. And I'm just excited because I'm stoked to see the results, which I know if you really stick to this, which I know you will and know you can, it's going to be changing for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Awesome. No, I'm excited. I can do this. And it's a great reference, by the way.
It's good, right? How good is that? It's so true.
And you're right. You know, you get out in front of it and it becomes, yeah, you know, it's not an issue if you get out in front of it and own it. So, I'm good. I'm excited, and I will get going on this. I'm pumped.
I love it, man, dude. I love it. Thank you for taking the time to get on the phone with me. I appreciate it. Please keep me posted, and I will be talking to you very soon.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for your time, and thank you for this. I'm looking forward to it. You'll see me a lot, actually.
So, good. I love that, man. The more I see you, the better.
Awesome. Thank you.
Have a good one, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, you too. Bye.
That wraps up this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email me, jordan@syattfitness.com. And I just want to sign off by saying I hope you know how much I appreciate you, your words of encouragement and support. Whether you're here on the podcast or on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or my email list or the inner circle, thank you. It means the world to me. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.